Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. Most of you probably noticed that the 2020 calendars are now available in the vestibule. And if you wish to give a donation for the calendar today, they are $15. And you can put it in the offering box on the opposite wall in the vestibule. The feasts for this week are St. Agapetus today. Tomorrow, feast of St. John Eudes, who was a big promoter of the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, about which we'll speak in a moment. Tuesday, August 20th, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the greatest saints in the history of the Church, 11th, 12th century, so like almost 1,000 years ago. We have a statue in this Blessed Mother Shrine on the left, and he was the founder of the Cistercian Order. But the reason Father placed that statue in that shrine is because he wrote many works about the Blessed Virgin Mary, very devoted to her. Friday, August 23rd, St. Philip Benizi, and then Saturday, August 24th, St. Bartholomew the Apostle. Now he was, as you know, one of the 12 apostles. His name was Nathanael. He was the son of Ptolemaeus, because the word Bar in Aramaic means son of, so Bartimaeus. So it's Bartholomew, and he went after our Lord ascended to heaven. He went to Arabia to spread the gospel. He, as we know with all the other apostles, met with, some would say, a very unfortunate end. Actually, it is a very fortunate, good, beautiful, glorious end, because he died for Christ, but in a very unusual way, and the way was because he would not relent, he would not compromise. He was skinned alive by evil people, by haters of the Catholic faith. So maybe about 20 years ago, when we visited Rome, there is an island in the middle of the Tiber River, right in the city of Rome in the middle. And on that church, on that island, is a church. And there is, church is dedicated to the Blessed Mother, but there is an altar where the remains, the relics of St. Bartholomew are present. So when we went there, it was totally deserted. No one back then would even care to visit these churches. And what was beautiful sight and very moving was under the altar were the relics, and then on the side was in the sanctuary, very small church, not much bigger than this chapel, was a metal dish about this large, covered with a grate to protect it from theft. And that was the metal bowl, I think it was made out of brass, that carried the relics of St. Bartholomew from the Middle East to Italy many, many centuries ago. So they had that there. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one, through the Spirit, is given the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing in the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, and even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went home to his home, back to his home, justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Mother, the Church wants us to remember, to recall what the Holy Ghost did for the Church at the very beginning, when there were so many attacks on the small numbers, relatively, compared to today's Church. There was much more of a manifestation of the works of the Holy Ghost that people could see. So St. Paul recounts these for the people about the prophecies and the works, speaking in tongues, discerning of spirits, all of these works which were meant only for the helping of the spreading of the faith. And the point of his epistle is that the Holy Ghost, 2,000 years ago and today in 2019 and right in this chapel, is imparting his grace to all of us, to each one of us, through actual graces and then also sacramental graces when you receive sacraments such as baptism or the Holy Eucharist or penance. All these graces are meant not only to give glory to God, but to bring you to heaven, to make you holy, prepare you for heaven. And he reminds us, and he implies this, we are never to be wondering, how come so-and-so got that and I didn't? Stirring up jealousy and envy. Because he says in the last sentence, but all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to everyone according as he will. So the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but the Father and Son working through the Holy Spirit, give the graces to each one of us according to their will. Our job is not to look at our neighbor and be nosy and pry into someone's business. Be concerned about your own sanctification first. Now, the gospel we are all familiar with, this parable, remember this event, the Pharisee and the publican, it didn't happen. It was a story that our Lord created to tell the people of his time, to tell the Pharisees, to tell the apostles, to tell Christians, Catholics for thousands of years, what you're supposed to be like when you go to church. So the lesson, of course, is very poignant to traditional Catholics who are, unfortunately, can be guilty of being Pharisees. Do you ever think of it that way? Because the Pharisees, they had the law of Moses. But then they had all their regulations and laws that they added on by themselves. So actually, they were following their own rules, and the rules became oppressive to the people. And not only that, the Pharisees would parade around and go through the streets, displaying how great and good and holy they thought they were. And so the people were fooled by this. Because what are they supposed to do? I just give my tithe, but the religious leader, well, they're in charge. I have to follow what they're doing, and even if I don't like it. In today's world, and for traditional Catholics, as we were recalling, it's a temptation for traditional Catholics to be a Pharisee. You know why? Because they think, well, I go to church. I reject the modernism. I go to church every Sunday. I give in the collection plate. I obey all the Ten Commandments. I say my rosary every day. And how many of those people, through gossip, terrible sin, gossip, talking about your neighbor, through the sin of detraction, which is revealing true things about your neighbor that hurt his name or her name. Or calumny, telling lies about your neighbor. So they, just like this Pharisee, these traditional Catholics, praise themselves, all the things they do, and they attack their fellow Catholics. That's why, just because a person goes to the Latin Mass and believes everything the Catholic faith teaches, is not a guarantee to the entrance to heaven, to go to heaven. You know why? Because St. Paul, one of the greatest saints ever, was worried about his own salvation. Doesn't that wake you up? It frightens me. St. Paul was worried if he'd be saved because he realized his own faults and his terrible sins before he was converted. How he persecuted and murdered Christians. That's why we should never take our faith, this Mass, for granted. The prayer for us today should be like the publican. Those were the people that were hated by the Jews. Because often they had dealings with the Roman authorities. They were like St. Matthew. They were tax collectors, tools of the occupying Romans, so they're hated. But this man in this story says he won't even look up. He's so ashamed of his behavior, his sins, his life. He says, "Have mercy on me, for I am a sinner." He says those words while the Pharisee is deriding him up front. And our Lord made this parable part of, through the work of the Holy Ghost, part of a Sunday Mass, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, to be heard every year by the faithful to remind us not to be hypocrites. You know, the best way to do it, as we said, and we say often, I ask you to do it. It'll take you 15 seconds. During this Mass, before the consecration, say your act of contrition and mean it. And say the correct act of contrition, the one in the catechism, the one in the back of the calendar, the one we printed on those leaflets, those little sheets for assistance to go to confession. If you don't know it, go back and get one. Don't worry about someone seeing you, by the way, when you're in line for confession with the examination of conscience leaflet or the form of confession sheet. It used to be everyone, you'd see everyone going to confession holding that. Because they didn't want to say the words to the priest and make a mistake. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. There's been so many weeks or months since my last confession. Bless me, Father, I confess to Almighty God and to you, Father, that I have sinned. Do you know how powerful that is? You are speaking to God the Father, to the Holy Trinity, to the priest who represents them. And you accuse yourself of your sins, you mention them, and you say, for these and all the sins of my life, you say you're sorry for all of them. And then you listen. You hear God speak. Because the priest is given a special grace. It's called the grace of state, meaning he gets graces from the position of being a priest hearing confessions. And that grace is right from God through the priest to that particular penitent, what to hear, what advice to give to that person. to reform their lives, to give up the sin, and to get to heaven. And then you say your act of contrition. So that's what we'd like you to do. We're telling you to do it to help you not be in any way like Pharisees, but be like the humble publican. And then finally, we must speak about this beautiful feast, the octave day of the Assumption, as we promised on that feast to you, of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We all have favorite feasts of the Blessed Mother. This is one of my favorites. Along with the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Since I was a seminarian, I've been inspired by these two feast days. And that is because they literally cut me to the heart. The devotion, the prayers of the Mass, but most of all, these two great persons, our Lord and Savior and the Blessed Virgin Mary. The human heart, it's right in the center of your body, right in here. That's why at the Gospel and the last Gospel, you make a cross here on your lips and over your heart. That your mind, your words, and your heart may be pure and dedicated to God. But literally, the human heart is a bodily organ. But since the beginning of man, the heart is a symbol of our soul. Because we know that we are composed of body and soul. The body is physical, the soul is spiritual. But when a person is alive, their heart is beating. I can feel my heart beating right now. We can feel another person's heart beating. And it's often the way we just see if someone's alive. When we have emotions, whatever they may be, but especially emotions of sorrow for our sins, contrition, perfect contrition, and above all, love, our heart beats more rapidly. Because the soul makes our bodies alive, but our bodies affect our souls. They work together. That's why the saints in heaven are really not totally happy because they don't have their bodies yet. So, that is why our Lord said the words, "Learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart." And how many times did the Blessed Virgin Mary speak about her heart, her Immaculate Heart, in the apparitions, recent ones in the last century? Especially Our Lady of Fatima. We put, in the new 2020 calendar, we put an image of the Sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary for the month of August. And just so you know, that calendar, which is a huge work to produce, is a work by the entire community. And many of the lay people here who help us. I won't say who it is, but there is an individual sitting among us who takes every order that comes in through the internet or the mail or through the sister's website or our website and records it and processes it and packages it and sends it on its way. And this person is, none of you know who he is. Well, that's a great work because we sold over 4,300 calendars last year. Do you know how many people see that calendar? As a side, that's maybe in a family of 2, 3, 4, 5, but maybe 20, 25,000 people see that calendar. Now, you may think, well, what is that compared to all the Catholics or the people in the United States? It's small, but it's like the mustard seed, and it's spreading. And as we told you last year or the year before, one of the sisters in the convent is in that convent because of the calendar. That's how she found out about us. Do not let your devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary be sentimental. Because even though we have words of the Blessed Virgin Mary and we have accounts about her in the Gospels, she was no pushover. She's very tough. Okay. I don't care how strong any man or woman thinks they are today. If they were in the presence of the Blessed Mother, they would be falling on their faces. When the Blessed Mother was speaking to Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, some demons started making noise and distracting Saint Bernadette. All this chatter. And the Blessed Mother just looked over. She just looked at them and it shut them up. After God, she is the most powerful weapon against the devil and the devil's human agents in this world. That's why you call upon the holy names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in times of temptation. You invoke her Immaculate Heart. We show homage to her, to her heart. We venerate her heart because it is fused to her immaculate body and soul. When she is protecting us, nothing can harm us. Her heart demonstrates her holiness, her purity, her humility, her motherly love for all of us. And the fact, for those who are really down and out, that she is our refuge. She's the refuge of sinners. We adore God who created her and who created her heart. We show by devotion to her sorrowful and immaculate heart, we show that we place confidence in her, that we trust her, that she will see us through to the end. We see by this heart as it's exquisitely portrayed in the statue of Our Lady of Sorrows in the shrine here, and also in the stained glass window on the side. Her compassion. You know the word compassion means to suffer with. How she suffered with our Lord. Do you ever ask yourself, why did she suffer so much? Why did our Lord suffer so much? Because of us, because of our sins, because of our indifference. To make up for our sins. And finally, that Immaculate Heart it tells us, it shows us for all history, for all eternity, that she is our mother. That she has a heart that's greater than our hearts. But it's strong enough and big enough to unite all of our hearts with hers. And completely united with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So, to help your devotion, we requested of our Father Superior that you could come to Mass this coming Thursday, because that is our retreat day. Normally Thursdays the chapel's closed. Well, there'll be a Mass at 8:30 a.m. for all of you who want to show your devotion to the Sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary. May God bless you.